Anime Pacific. Feel the chemistry.
Hello?
It's Alex. How are you, eh?
Good.
Pacific, friend of the animal.
Yes. On that note, cheery memories of childhood.
Yes.
Welcome to the next episode. Would it be episode 25, Dane?
Yes, it would be.
Our what anniversary would this be? Like not
almost
silver.
Six
silver
months.
Silver's 50, right?
Yes.
Or is that gold?
No, gold is 100?
50.
Oh,
no.
50.
I think gold is 50, and like platinum is like 75 or something.
Welcome to our copper anniversary.
Copper. Copper is 10, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Something
well,
like that. So bronze, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so welcome to the silver, perhaps, anniversary of Anime Pacific.
Well, next week will be our six-month anniversary.
Oh, it's really?
26.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, so wow. And to think that all those months ago, we had zero listeners, or we had very few listeners, and we were desperate for more attention, and all that time later, we still have very few listeners and are desperate for attention, but we've had some good laughs.
Yes. And yeah. Did you see the Gooba video? That was a rather pathetic
with
attempt.
Your bizarre head, yes.
That was an awesome program, though. It's this webcam program. It's called ManyCam. And you can do all these funny things with the webcam. And I was just playing with it. I said, oh, well, might as well put this at the start of the show. So, because there's one where you can make the, where if you position your head right, it makes your eyes really big, almost kind of anime-ish in a way. So, thus the...
Yeah, I don't know, man. That was kind of creepy.
It was creepy, wasn't it? But I think that fiery Hellspawn cat was worse.
Fiery Hellspawn cat.
Yeah, you know. I don't like those fiery Hellspawn cats. Now, we had a discovery that Anonymous was indeed my sister, so my Spidey sense serves me
tingled
well.
Correctly. Yeah.
Yes. So there we go. That issue has been solved.
And there's another reason that you could be tingling. Miss Japan won Miss Universe.
Speaking of tingling.
Yeah, speaking of tingling, that's right.
Yes, Miss Japan.
Did you see that? You see that swimsuit competition? Woo woo.
I've never actually seen a Miss Universe before.
Yeah, I had it on here in high def. Very good.
Oh, okay.
So, well, actually, I'm not sure if the actual competition was in high def or not, but anyways, yeah, it was good. Definitely looked hot in that swimsuit. And the thing was, I had heard over the wire, like, you know, on Google News that she had won Miss Japan. So I thought, oh, maybe it's, like, I'm on the West Coast, right? So I think, oh, maybe now it's on now. Maybe I can check her out. So I turned it on, and hey, it was swimsuit competition. And she just was announced and walked down the, platform, you'd call it. What do you call it? Runway?
Yeah,
like that.
Catwalk?
Catwalk, that's the word I was looking for. So yeah, definitely a hottie. So
yeah,
congratulations
to
Ryo Mori.
Yeah, well, I'm glad she got a life back on track after I broke up with her. She hit the bottle for a while.
Yeah. Well, anyone who would be with you, I guess, does, but...
oh, yes, thank you very much.
But actually, there's a Canadian connection to her. She came over to Canada to, study dance, I think?
Mm-hmm.
I think she learned English here, or she was in, I think she maybe went to high school here, something like that. So she learned English here. Apparently, it was in the paper, saw that an interview with one of her teachers in Canada saying how good a student she was and whatnot.
I bet he was thinking, oh, she was a great student. And her grades were not bad as well.
Yes, now he's Scott.
What is her name again, the Miss Universe?
Ryo Mori.
How do you spell that?
Ryomori.
I see, yeah. And she won the...
Miss Universe.
I remember reading an article about this. Something about how it was a troubled year for the Miss Universe? I've never
seen. Oh, because the American, because it was in Mexico, I guess, and Miss USA, she got booed a bit. And when she was walking down the catwalk with her evening competition, she slipped and fell on her ass. You can probably check that out on YouTube.
I
would have been funny if like her dress had like ripped off or something, but unfortunately not. Did you ever see that? There's a video of another like Miss Universe who was walking down the catwalk and her dress fell off.
I haven't, but there's this one Hong Kong star. A Hong Kong singer called Yumiko.
And she was in that, was it trapeze? You sent me that video,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, she was in a trapeze, and it was on a live show. I was eating hot pot at the time, and it was on TV. And she
spewed your hot pot as soon as...
No, literally, you could hear the whole restaurant when it happened. You could hear from about 100 different tables. Because all the people were like, oh, look!
And what happened for our audience?
She fell off the trapeze, and because someone was holding her by the legs, she was supposed to swing over, do the trapeze trick, and then they would grab her legs. But the pants slipped right off, and then she
was
wearing a G-string underneath, and it's been, I don't know, paused and rewound and YouTubed and photoshopped and newspapered. No. By pretty much everyone in the entire world, like everyone in Hong Kong,
or at least eastern China.
So that was certainly interesting. And then, of course, you know, there was the newspaper the next day where she was crying, and then the next day after that,
boohoo! She probably just got another bigger paycheck for her next movie because she's just more famous now.
Yeah, it was. Some people even said...
Alligator,
you know,
tears. It was probably done on purpose, yeah.
Yeah, well...
It's like how Bai Ling just keeps having those mistakenly nipple shots or whatever, you know. She's trying to get famous so desperately, so she wants... She keeps have accidentally... Her top falls off when she's walking down. She's like this sort of B-list celebrity, desperately trying to get to A-list.
Well, the fame part has worked, I think. You know, from that... point of view.
Well, right. It's like the only reason anybody knows her is, you know, she hasn't really been in any big roles, but everybody knows Bai Ling because she just seems to be around.
Well, no, because she was going to be on Star Wars and then she posed for Playboy.
Well, right, but you know, she can anybody name like a big movie? She was in a what was she in? She was in Lost this season. She played like a tattoo artist. So I don't know. That's the only role I can think of that she was in. But everybody seems to know her name.
Yeah.
So.
It's worked.
She's like famous for, yeah, it's worked essentially, yes. But yeah, but that video of that Miss Universe where she's walking down the catwalk in her dress is just so funny because she sort of, it's almost like a cartoon. Like she backs up toward the exit and then she turns around and puts her hands over her ass and she tears off toward the exit. Very funny.
Sounds it.
Yes.
Now, another thing has sort of hit the internet, so to speak, and that is the IGN's review of Paprika. I posted this in the comments section of our website.
Yeah,
which is
outrageous.
AnimePacific.blogspot.com. And this is probably one of the worst reviews I have ever read in my entire life. It is just an atrocity. It's the sort of review that we might have expected from an inept reviewer 13 years ago when there were much worse misconceptions
about
anime.
Dane and his Chinese born again!
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And Paprika, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, it's got like 85.
No, it's got 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
89%, yeah.
And just listen to some of these reviews. The idea of cinema as irrepressible boogeyman might be Khan's own confession. Or fiercely provocative, particularly shames Hollywood's use of animation as a kiddie pacifier. And Alicia Schwarzbaum, Entertainment Weekly, Khan mixes visual beauty with a disorienting perspective for a cautionary tale about machine-influenced soullessness and the persistent Japanese popular love of the cute. I mean, it's just good review after good review after good review, and there are a few, hacks like that IGN guy who take it down to 89%. But I mean, yep. It's just phenomenally reviewed, and just goes to show like what a dick that IGN guy is.
Yeah, P. McDougal. P probably stands for poo poo face, and he obviously just doesn't get it. He's stupid. He's like, whoa, this is heavy, dude. I mean, he hasn't got it. Let me just read the main offending paragraph. At the very least, let's say Paprika, despite its getting a limited US release via Sony Pictures Classics beginning this Friday, doesn't do much to free itself from the trappings of the anime genre. There is the offending two words, anime genre. He's called it a genre.
Yeah. And let's explore, forget the genre thing for a minute. Escape from the trappings of the anime genre? Like I suppose he should throw in some a cutesy bouncy character who's all moe'd up, yeah. and a comical mascot, and you know, I mean, it seems like the opposite of that. Like it's actually like something for an adult. Like I have not seen this yet.
I have seen it, and yeah, you just, you know, not everyone's going to get it, but even if you don't get it, you will enjoy it, I think. It's pretty much a masterpiece, like everything else Satoshi Kon has done. And just to read a review so inept, it really brings my respect for IGN down. And this P. McDougal guy is obviously, you know, a fool, because he has obviously admitted that he's got a bias.
Okay, because he calls it a genre. Why does he think it does not break out of the genre? Like, I don't even know what that means.
Well, he said,
how can it be a genre? It's not a genre.
Yeah, well,
it's a medium.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, do you want to see, I don't know, the
it's like saying the live 11? Action genre.
Oh, I just like the Hollywood genre. I won't see that.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, and he said, but what he continues to say is, which one supposes isn't necessarily a bad thing for actual anime fans, but for the rest of us, that's more nightmare than dream come true. So he's basically saying, you know,
he wants moe, probably. That's what he's demanding.
He's saying that he doesn't like anime, and that that this hasn't done enough to satisfy him. You know, he's
yeah, just, fuck not.
He is. He absolutely is. And I will post a link to this review in the show notes. I mean,
like if he had said there's one like bad review here that says Paprika is yet another incoherent anime that's more interested in warmed over visuals than in indulging in any kind of storytelling or character work. Now if he had said like that, I could respect that. Like he's criticizing it like as a movie, but just to say, you know, oh, it doesn't break out of the genre. I mean,
yes, that's right. And you know, he said that the characters are so tired and one note, even to someone who hasn't seen much anime before. So I think one thing that has characterized anime and manga are the brilliant characters that, you know, obviously not all of them, but the masterpieces are often, you know, well regarded for their excellent characterizations. And he's saying, well, you know, part of anime fandom is that, you know, you accept that they've got crappy characters, oh, blah, blah, blah.
That's so outrageous. I mean, the whole point, like one of the like the benefits or good points of working in this medium, like animation, you know, is that you can do anything, right?
Yep.
You let your imagination run wild, and you don't have to spend, you know, $200 million on special effects. So yep.
It costs just as much to walk across the road than it does to have a dogfight in space.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, I mean, okay, a beautifully detailed animated
run,
you know, like a Miyazaki.
Anybody
film.
Can make like, yeah, okay. It's not like, obviously it's a lot cheaper to make like Fred Flintstone running over the same terrain that, you know, goes over and over and over again. But yeah, so I don't know. Now, are you going to review this episode, Dane, or are you going to wait until next week? Or?
No, I'm going to wait until next week. Because, yeah, I've got
until
other stuff.
Until I have a chance to see it?
Yeah, and I have other things to review this week. And
so all right, so look forward to that.
Yeah,
I will be giving a mini review of Satoshi Kon's Tokyo Godfathers.
Yep, and I shall also be doing a review of a very unknown 80s anime called Wannabes. But
by the way, Satoshi Kon is the guy who did Paprika here. Okay, so
yes, that's right. There's the connection there, people.
Yeah, and Perfect Blue, which was one of my all-time favorites. One of the first, well, I don't know if one of the first, but like I guess in the mid 90s there when it came out, just blew me away. Showed it to my sister-in-law, and she was all shocked because I had the, like legally purchased, North American DVD, and it was not censored. You know, there's a nude scene, and her nanner nanner was not censored, and she was shocked that it was uncensored. She was, so I know that was kind of funny. But yeah, Perfect Blue, and by the way, TV Guide, because Paprika came out. Now the famous TV Guide magazine. The movie reviewer for TV Guide, the Flick Chick, sort of goes back and talks about Perfect Blue and animation versus cartoons and the thrills of Perfect Blue. And so she since Paprika, I'm going to read a bit of this. With Japanese animator Satoshi Kon's surreal Paprika opening in theaters on May 25th, I've made his first film, Perfect Blue, my pick for DVD Tuesday. This psychological thriller about a teenaged pop star trying to become a serious actress sees with sharp observations about fame, the tabloid media, image, and the commodification and fetishization of young girls. It's also a cracking good story. Unlike Hayao Miyazaki, Spirited Away, blah, 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 who makes sensitive, quietly sophisticated films about the complicated psychological landscape of childhood that can be enjoyed equally, if in different ways, by children and adults, Kon's isn't interested in family filmmaking. His favorite subjects are mutually identifiable by the vagaries of memory and the complex psychological defenses of people used to shield themselves against the world's relentless inequality, indifference, and outright cruelty. Should I go on or should I stop? I'll go on a bit more. 21-year-old Mima Kira Goe is one-third of a successful bubblegum pop trio called Cham. Imagine Britney Spears circa 2001, multiplied by three. But Mima knows groups like Cham have a limited shelf life and persuades her reluctant manager, Rumi, herself a former pop star, to begin putting her up for acting roles. Mima wins a one-line part on a popular Law & Order-style crime show called Double Bind, and the producers like her well enough to expand her part. The new material includes a dramatically demanding scene in which Mima's character, an exotic dancer, is assaulted while performing in a club.
Oh, Mima, I remember that scene.
Yeah, Mima is nervous. He wanked off to it. Mima, probably. Mima is nervous but welcomes the opportunity to prove to the naysayers who dismiss her as just another Pop-Tart that she has both real range as an actress and the dedication to take on difficult roles. Unfortunately, there are plenty of people in the TV business looking to enrich themselves at the expense of the ambitious, inexperienced young actress, like the celebrity photographer who coerces her into exposing more skin than she intended during a photo shoot. Yeah, that was the scene that shocked my sister-in-law with the uncensored bits. And some of Mima's fans are very unhappy with the direction of her post-Cham career is taking. As Mima grapples with her own doubts and insecurities, she discovers a creepy website called Mima's Room, complete with a detailed and accurate excerpts of what's purported to be her personal diary, except that she didn't write them. Then someone begins murdering the creative team behind Double Bind. Is it a deranged fam? Is Mima having a psychotic breakdown? Or is something else going on? Perfect Blue is equal parts Alfred Hitchcock-style thriller and Philip K. Dick-influenced paranoia. And while the stories detailed are distinctly Japanese, its ideas about the nature and the price of fame cross all borders. In fact, Darren Aronofsky's own U.S. remake rights owns the U.S. remake rights, and at least one scene in his 2000 Requiem for a Dream owes a clear debt. I'm a huge fan of Khan's next two movies as well, and if I prefer Millennium Actress to Tokyo Godfathers, it's mostly because I've already seen two takes on Three Godfathers. Blah, blah, blah. So anyways, things to consider. Do you find that animation makes it hard for you to take stories that aren't children's fantasies seriously? Why or why not? How do you feel about graphic novels, capable of achieving the depth and sophistication of non-illustrated literature or not? Which, if any, animated films have stayed with you because they were more than cute entertainment? So I think everyone here who's listening, if you have some deep thoughts about anime, now is your chance to email this TV Guide reviewer, Flick Chick. She has a very popular podcast, or she's part of it herself, a podcast I listen to, actually, the TV Guide podcast. They talk about TV shows and movies. And she's in that podcast, and it's obviously very popular. This is a very popular site, and you have a chance here. Maybe if you want to answer these questions, you can probably email her at this site here, and she might mention your answer on the podcast.
Yeah,
so
well, I'll post
encourage
a link
everyone.
To that.
Yeah, post a link. Don't forget Skaysbrook.
I won't.
Okay. So yeah, check that out. And I probably shouldn't have read that whole thing, but I just thought it was so good. I got swept away. I deserved to read. Spirited away. That's right. So,
well, it's funny that you know she talks about it about you know the whole issue of it being an animation, because it originally wasn't going to be an animation. It wasn't until the Kobe earthquake, which damaged the production studio, that they decided it'd be an OVA. The budget was reduced. And then
it wasn't an OVA, it was a movie, right?
Oh, it was originally going to be an OVA. And then Katsuhiro Otomo was credited as a special supervisor. Although I don't even know if he actually was, but the Otomo name was enough to get attention at film festivals around the world and whatnot. And it sort of evolved into a film. So that
perfect
is...
Perfect Blue.
So, I mean, all of this... This just... You know, one little thing could have changed everything, and Satoshi Kon might not have ever been discovered. The Kobe earthquake, we're not going to say, like, yay for the earthquake! But, honestly, if it wasn't for the earthquake, you know, he wouldn't have been able to have come out in the world, you know? It's like when you see those post-apocalyptic cities and they're all destroyed and then this one beautiful flower grows out of the rubble. I mean, literally,
yeah.
All of these chances came together and gave us Satoshi Kon. So.
And compare this review to that doofus on IGN who, if it's not Moe, it doesn't belong, or whatever the hell he was thinking. So
He was just thought, it's anime, thus... You know, it gets
sucks.
A minus -5 from the beginning.
Right.
And, I mean, he didn't get it. And he was an idiot. He just as simple as that. However, luckily, most people on the IGN board seem to agree. Because, well, everyone that I've read, you know, this closed-minded reviewer has to get fired. And then, this is by far the dumbest review I've ever seen in my life. You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean... I almost want to boycott IGN, although I don't...
Go ahead, boycott.
Yes, boycott IGN, everyone, until they fire that prick.
Yeah, so, yes. So definitely check out Perfect Blue if you have not seen it. It's amazing, available, I'm sure, at a DVD store near you. I want to check out Millennium Actress. I have not seen it. And looking forward to Paprika. That's all
yes.
I got to say.
Okay,
screw
now.
That IGN guy. Oh, and by the way... you hear about that cabinet minister committing suicide?
Oh, yes. I certainly did.
That's like... Can you imagine... Like, some other people have made this sort of comment also, but this was a cabinet minister caught up in something of a minor... I don't know if I call it minor, but like compared to like you know the scandals you hear in like American politics with like Jack Abramoff... You know, and congressman
soliciting young
that?
Boys. Who was that guy? There was one. That was
oh yeah, that guy. Oh, what was his name? They're all Republicans too.
yeah, that's right. It's always
yeah,
these
the preaching holier than thou, and then.
Well, listen.
Let
me just
corrupt up the yin yang.
there's this one of those ultra right wing sort of conservative radio guys called Alan Jones in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And he's one of those people that always sort of says, "Oh, you know, where are the morals and blah 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 blah, those stupid socialists, blah blah blah." But he actually got deported from England because he was molesting a boy in a phone booth.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Or like Rush Limbaugh, and then he got, you know, he goes on and on about the evils of drugs and how anybody who gets addicted to drugs should be in prison for life.
And then he was busted.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Then he gets busted for being addicted to drugs.
Pretty much. Yeah, I'd say he's like a weaselier version of Rush Limbaugh, I'd say, yeah.
But you can't get much weaselier than Rush Limbaugh. But anyways, so he... So this cabinet minister, he was, I guess, found to be sort of cooking the books a bit. I wish I could remember more of the details, but he had claimed more expenses than he should have. It was like $20,000, I think, 2 million yen. I might be off there. And his excuse was, "Oh, that expense was for drinking water, for water for the office, you know." Not like tap water, but like bottled water.
He was a forestries and fishing minister. I mean, it's not like, you know, he's selling plutonium or something.
Right. But anyway, so that was one of the things. But like you said, it was because he was the water expense of his office and the drinking water in the office. So these TV shows and newspapers started showing up to his office to drink his water. wanted to sample what 2 million yen water tasted like. That was almost funny, you know.
Oh, it
and
is.
I'm sure there was something else too, but I can't remember. But anyways, he was so ashamed over this 2 million yen, you know, nonsense that he killed himself. First cabinet minister since the end of World War II, and so in a way, like, you're looking at that and you're thinking, wow, you know, you see, did the honorable thing. But compare that to that Jack Abramoff nonsense in the States. It caught up all those congressmen. I wish I could remember them off the top of my head, but there's that Bob Ney, and there was that Duke Cunningham, another corrupt congressman. They're all taking bribes for votes, and it's like. You should do the decent thing and hang yourselves, guys. Just like this Japanese.
I will reclaim my honor. Yes. Yeah. Well, it certainly seemed that you left Japan at an interesting time, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, actually, to be honest, like, being in Canada, I'm sort of, like, homesick.
What are you homesick of?
Well, I don't know if that's the right expression to use, but... I said that to Kaori, and Kaori was like, "Your home, but this is your home. You got it backwards, you know." But yeah, I miss Japan.
Well, so, home is where the heart is, and if your heart's in Japan, that's your home. So I feel the same about Hong Kong, also.
But in a way, they sort of pulled away just for like financial reasons, you know. I mean, like Japan, like to live there long term as a foreigner. Okay, like here's how the I don't know if people want to know this or not, but here's how
people
English business
do want to
works.
Know this, I think.
I think this is how the English business works there. You enter Japan, probably you get picked up by Nova or one of those other chain schools. You enter in on a work visa through them. So you're a slave for one of those chain schools for a year or so. And then they give you a 3-year work visa, Nova or ECC or Eon, any of those chain schools. And generally what happens is you're there for a year, maybe two. You learn the ropes. You learn some teaching skills. Then you leave with hopefully a year or two left on your work visa. You then strike off on your own, independent style. Now, that's a big step, but it's absolutely necessary if you ever want to make more than 240,000 yen a month. Okay? Mm. And then you work for something like I did, like an independent sort of contractor. You get into corporate English, or you end up working through them at a primary school or something. They'll send you out to a primary school, and you'll probably end up making a lot more money. These while Nova will pay you, you know, 240,000 yen a month, that comes out to maybe $2,500, I mean, something like that, give or take. I don't know what the exchange rate is exactly. But to get away from that, you get into corporate English, and they'll probably pay you by the hour. So we're talking 4,000 yen, give or take 500, maybe more, depending on what outfit you're with. That's per hour. So that you definitely got to get into that. And then you start picking up private students also. So if you collect enough hours, you can, by the time your visa is about to expire, you can extend your visa, but like as an independent operator. So you go to your contracting out business school that sends you to corporate English, like sends you to company classes after work in the evening, mm-hmm. or you might, like I did, you teach some, you know, middle-aged women during the day, you know, who come in for a giggle, or you know, you get intensives at companies, stuff like that, or they might send you to like a primary school. You don't have to do that. Hell, I didn't want to do that, so I didn't get into that. So if you collect enough hours through that, say, you know, you go to them and you get them, okay, you're going to guarantee me, say, 25 hours a month. You put that on your visa application, and then you collect all your private students, and your private students, you know, you collect all the, you make sort of receipts and whatnot, and you collect enough for, say, 50 hours a month, or enough to collect, say, 250,000 yen a month, which is probably the minimum you'll need, mm-hmm. to make, and then you apply for your visa, and then you're in, like, Flint for another 3 years.
And repeat with that,
yeah, and you by doing that, you make more money than working at Nova or ECC or any of these other ones, and you work less hours. Okay, Nova, they'll work you like a slave. Okay, yeah. You know, but if you're an independent contractor, you could work, you know, evening classes, charge. Like I know a guy in Nagoya, he actually worked at Nova for 5 years, 5-6 years. He became like a manager at a Nova actually, you know. And he
would
quit
tell
that
you that
to strike
teachers
off on
that
his
turn
own.
Up drunk and
oh yeah, he has all these horror stories. You know, people yeah. bitch about Nova, but like, you got to be professional, okay? Yeah, he talks about how the teachers just don't show up, or they'll be drinking all night the night before, and then they show up bleary eyed and you know, bloodshot, or they don't show up at all, or show up late, and you know, he's trying to run a business. And, you know, when you have to deal with some of the slovenly, or I remember, was it at Nova a while ago that a bunch of teachers got busted for smoking dope or something?
Oh, there's all sorts of things.
Yeah, so, you know, like you can bitch about Nova, but some of the people who actually work, like who they hire, they're really irresponsible, you know. So. Yeah,
well, that's part of the whole English teaching international community at large, is that for people to go overseas, there's two reasons. One, could be that you're a nice fellow or nice lady and you want to see the world or travel overseas, or you might not even, you know, you just might want to live somewhere else. But then there's some people who are who are just losers and scumbags and not accepted in their own society, so they will go somewhere else. And this happened quite a lot in North China, I discovered, much to my shock. I went to North China and lived in North China, as I said, and I went there with my wife, who was my fiancé at the time. And I was teaching in a place, but I was the only sort of the English teacher there, luckily for me. And just as I was leaving, they were replacing me with this other guy who was just a real freaking loser. And he took me, he said, oh, you know, seeing I'm going, and can you help me move some stuff? So I said, okay, and he was at this hotel with these other guys, and they were just constantly whoring, splurging money on stuff. You know, they'd buy like ninja stars and waste the hotel and sort of say, oh, I can pay for it, doesn't matter. And, you know, they were just these real boorish, terrible loser scumbags who would be, you know, who are the dregs of society. And because in China, you will get very little salary, but compared to what most people in mainland China get, you're pretty much a king. So it's an excuse for dregs to try and, you know, think that they're kings overseas, and they're just, you know, a shame to all of us. Yeah.
But one of the things, you know, like, you know, you end up sort of, let's say, you know, you're working at like corporate English and you've got company classes and you've got some private students. That's all well and good, and you're making more money than you would at Nova. But at like a point, you sort of hit a plateau income wise, and you'll probably never get up any more than that. You might luck out and somehow end up at a university teaching, you know, university students. But for that, you need like a master's degree at least. It's, you know, and some good luck, you know. So it's while you have to really enjoy living over there, and it, you know, and while your income goes up somewhat as you pick up private students and whatnot, you know, in the end, it's difficult to take a holiday because you obviously you take time off, you don't get paid, right? So you know, there are definitely pluses and minuses. You really have to like it. And so I, you know, thinking like that was, you know, my situation as well. So thinking, well, okay, come back to Canada, job opportunity, you know, like a regular job, stable, you get 6 weeks vacation or whatever, like everybody else. You know, it sounds good on paper, but you know, you start to miss life back there.
Yeah, well, you were in a tricky situation because a lot of gaijin, so to speak, especially females or males, get married there to Japanese. In for the guys, they usually marry sort of salaried ladies. Obviously,
right.
The salaried ladies, no Japanese guy is going to marry them, are they? Because they'd want her to, you know, quit a job as soon as they got married. They probably wouldn't want to do that. But whereas you got married sort of Japanese style, in a way.
Yeah, my wife doesn't want a job. She wants to be a housewife. So for me, like, it would make my life, like, would have been made my life living in Japan so much easier if she had like a salary lady job.
Yeah.
You know, was working.
Because you wouldn't get any sort of you know, retirement subsidies or anything like that.
That's exactly it. I mean, like, obviously, if you work for a company full time, the company gives you like a company pension and subsidizes health care for you and your family. And for me, I didn't have that because I was like an independent contractor, so I'd have to pay for my health care by myself and my own retirement. Like, they have a pension plan, but that's going to collapse. Okay. Everybody knows it. So, like, that's the other thing. So, I mean, if my wife was working full time, I could, you know, go in under her and have her company subsidize my health care and have her company subsidize my retirement. But that's not the way it works. Like, I know a guy, you know, one of my friends in Nagoya is doing that. His wife's, you know, works full time, and he's like me there. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big problem. So for, I don't know, anybody thinks, oh, I want to live in Japan forever, you got to think about things like that.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a very good blog about that by a American guy called, I think his original name is David Arbuckle, or no, David Aldwinkle, or
something
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, some name that usually only turns up in Happy Days or Leave It to Beaver, but he was a guy who became a naturalized Japanese citizen.
Isn't David Arbuckle, isn't he Garfield's, like, owner?
That's John Arbuckle. Yeah, this is David.
Okay.
But he changed his name to Arudo Debito. And he has a blog called Debito.org, which talks about, well, the real Japan. Not just the real Japan, but, you know, what happens when you naturalize to Japan. There are certain hurdles that you have to overcome. He released a book called Japanese Only, because Japan,
he's a real activist, but
the book Japanese Only, because there are quite a few bars and onsens that have Japanese Only signs, which, you know,
in Hokkaido. I don't think if you go like into Tokyo, you're not going to find anything like that. But out in the boondocks, you know, near Russia, yeah, they've got some, because they got, you know, a lot of Russians come in and, you know, drink vodka and pass out. So maybe that's, I think that's essentially the issue. If he was living in Kyushu, or, you know, or in Tokyo or something, I don't think he'd find those kind of places. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, it is an issue.
I know we sort of said we were going to talk about like our Hong Kong days, but
yeah, that's,
I don't know.
That's something
to save
we'll
that
have
for
to...
like next time or something.
Yeah, we'll have to have a whole segment for that, I think. I mean, it's definitely worthy of one.
And the English Center and Scott!
Yeah, oh.
Remember when, remember when his wife was, like, losing weight because of all the stress and problems? And, like, she was sort of a bit, no, I wouldn't say fat, but she was a bit hefty, and then she started losing all this weight because of all the stress and the business wasn't going well. What was it Scott said? I can't remember exactly.
I have no idea.
It was something like, she looks great now, doesn't she? Something like that. Because of all the stress was causing her to lose all that weight, and he was all happy.
Yeah. Wow, I should take up cocaine. That'll stress her even more.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's another podcast in itself, and we definitely will talk about that, perhaps for our six-month anniversary.
Right, yes. Right, next
yes.
week.
Yes. Well, anyway, this segment has gone on for 14 minutes, and we haven't actually discussed.
So we should actually say next segment will be the news.
So you want to hear people talk about Japanese cartoons?
You know, anime.
But you think the other anime podcasters just aren't nerdy enough?
Sounds like you need to join forces with the Anime World Order,
where each week three self-proclaimed experts offer you reviews
of titles both new and classic, news and commentary,
rants, convention reports, interviews with fandom,
and some hentai and yaoi for good measure.
So search for anime in the iTunes Music Store.
Or visit our website at animeworldorder.com.
Anime World Order, revealing the truth about anime, one podcast at a time.
For the latest news from Asia and abroad, Anime Pacific News. Getting the news from places that you most likely already visit.
Okay, well, there is quite a bit of news this week, and I know I say that every week, just like I said this last week and the week before. The Japanese anime TV rankings are out yet again, the ratings. You can actually find the detailed ratings out there, but Anime News Network have posted one, which they occasionally do, and I'm referring to that one at this point in time. Now, the main thing they said, it was a bit pessimistic, really. They said that only 2007 spring season anime made it into the top 10. Now, it should be mentioned that there's anime and there's anime. The top 10 are kind of mainstream. You're not going to be an anime fan, or you don't have to be an anime fan to enjoy these sort of things. Gegege no Kitaro, of course, is in the top 10. There's been a huge resurgence. All the more shocking that the street was vandalized recently. And the other ones from the current 2007 spring season is the Precure 5, which is like a Magic Girl one, and only two. Sorry, yeah.
It's very sad. No Skullman.
Well, again, things like Skullman and Claymore, Darker Than Black, are all
Darker
doing.
Darker Than Black.
I imagine they're all doing well. I know Claymore's doing well. Those are anime, true anime. Japanese people would probably refer to things like Detective Conan as cartoons, to a certain extent. Those ones air at, you know, 1 in the morning, or midnight if it's a popular show, and 3 in the morning. So the ratings for those are completely different. They're calculated in a different way. So by no means does this reflect that
yeah.
Something like Skullman is doing poorly.
Yeah, Skullman, by the way, I know last week I was complaining about the music and how it pulled me out of the suspense. Well, they must have heard our podcast, because episodes 4 and 5, dramatic improvement in the music. It really spot on with the music. And even the cutesy sidekick was a sort of more tame and more fitting in with the setting. So they must have heard my criticism from last week and completely fixed it. Or more likely, somebody obviously smarter than I already noticed that in post-production and said, okay, we're going to fix that for episode 4 and 5 and onward. So, definitely a lot better. Skullman continues to be awesome. Check it out if you haven't already. And same thing with Darker Than Black. Just watched episode 7 and 8. Spectacular. Great conclusion to... And I'm looking forward to the new two pairings, 9 and 10. So check out Darker Than Black and Skullman.
Yeah, check it out, people. I have kind of semi-given up on trying to watch these new shows every week. I might just have to wait till they're complete. Luckily, Skullman is almost complete because it's only like 13 episodes long. So
is it? Oh, that's so sad.
It is sad, but...
It's not almost complete. It's only up to episode 5.
Ah. Well, in Japan, it's almost complete with the airing. So if they can get their act together... I shouldn't say that. It's like I'm complaining, but...
You know what? I was complaining about the subs, the soft subs.
Oh, yes.
And I've discovered, like... I disposed of VLC player, which everybody seems to talk about, and I found a new player that plays the soft subs just perfectly. It's called KM Player. Capital K, capital M, Player, with a capital P. Friggin' awesome, and it's so user-friendly. You just write, and you can... It's beautiful, beautiful. Check it out. It plays the soft subs perfectly. No more screw-ups like in VLC player.
Okay.
So the Skullman episodes that I was complaining about because they were all soft subs, the group that was doing it, well, I'm not going to complain anymore because it just works beautifully now, and I can see why they used soft subs. Because you can like totally manipulate the subs with the soft subs in this KM player. You right-click on it, and you can fiddle with them all you want. It's beautiful. It's so user-friendly. You can do it to some extent with VLC player, but it was just the interface was just so shit, you couldn't do anything. So, yeah. KM Player, it's awesome, so user friendly. Go get it for all your viewing needs.
You heard the man.
Yes.
Okay, well, further on in the news is, and everyone knows this, but you probably don't know this, Alex, so I wanted to mention this just to hear your reaction.
Uh-oh.
Seven Seas, which is a licensor in the US, which is pretty renowned for licensing stuff that is either, you know, like amateur stuff or American manga, where some, you know, American anime fan has made a doodle and started selling it. They released this one, which is actually, at least I'm led to believe by what people say, is eerily popular. And it's actually created by a female. It's called... Well, the English name is called Nymphette.
Really?
Yes.
Is that what I think it means? Or is it some Japanese that comes out funny?
Well, I forget the Japanese name. Kodomo no Jikan.
Oh. Kodomo no Jikan.
Yeah, it's basically
like Chikan or Jikan?
It's basically J-I-K-A-N. And it's about a teacher.
Get my wife's reaction to that. What do you think of an anime called Kodomo no Jikan? That title. What does that sound like to you?
A kids show,
she says.
Okay. Well.
So I don't know. It seems perverted to me. It sounds like a porno.
It is about a teacher and an 8-year-old who keeps trying to screw him.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Yep. And I am going to include some scanlations in the show notes. It's kiddie porn. And there is one where...
Kaori's reaction is 8 years old?
Yeah.
Sounds like a show for Dane.
Ha ha.
That's her reaction.
I'll have her commit seppuku for those dishonorable words towards my house. One such shot is her drinking out of a bubbler. Fine.
I don't know what that means. What's a bubbler?
Water fountain, eh? You know, the drinking fountain.
I see.
And
your strange Aussie English is throwing
British
you
English. It.
Okay.
This. Okay. Fine. You know, we all do that. However, this one looks decidedly phallic, and the water is spraying all over her little cute 8-year-old face. Oh, that's
this
so
is
cute.
Disgusting.
Yes. the real shocker. Hand me your brush. Okay, he's teaching calligraphy to the primary school students, which is lovely. Hand me your brush, you can do it like this. And then the girl who keeps trying to bonk him, Sensei, I'm done! And then she shows her calligraphy, which is Nakadashi Kibo, which literally translates as, I hope for you to ejaculate inside of me.
Oh my god. This is very disturbing. I'm just reading this. The company that's publishing it has a letter to the public.
Oh, they do. They've released a second one, and it's kiddie porn. An 8-year-old trying to screw people. And we talked about the junior idols before, and I'm going to be completely honest.
You've purchased every DVD.
No. But there are some junior idols that are 14 and 15. And
they look of age, but
well, some of them are pretty darn nice. However, I am attracted to what makes them a lady as opposed to what makes them a child, and that's that's the
naughty
thing.
Bits.
Well, these girls are developed, and yeah, I remember there was one 12-year-old girl that won
really
hearts
turned
around.
You on.
No, I mean, she literally could have been 19, and that's the thing. But this is an 8-year-old. It looks like an 8-year-old. They are, anything, these junior idols where they're like 7 and wearing thongs is wrong to me. And what does every sort of, pedophile out there that likes Lolicon say? Oh, you're so insensitive to the culture. You have to remember the culture that this is coming from. I mean, go to hell. I mean, the I've spoken to Japanese people who say the same thing that we do, that this is
there's a very perverted sub, and they'll say that, like you said, it's like a cultural thing, but some things are just should not be shown and should not be done.
Child pornography
is bang on. I mean, that just crosses the line. It's disgusting.
And ask any normal red-blooded Japanese male what he thinks about this, and he will answer the same thing that we do.
Yeah, I'd be curious to ask my wife, actually, what she thinks of this.
Well, what is scary is that this is serialized in Japan, in a comics anthology, which is aimed at older teens.
Right.
Older teens.
I don't believe that for a minute. I bet you it's all these middle-aged men that we saw at that doll place.
Oh, yeah, that was still scary. For those of you who haven't listened to that episode or don't remember...
Akihabara has, a child pornography store. I mean, I stumbled in there.
I've been into that also because... I remember my host...
It was disturbing.
My host father took me to all the anime places, and usually, the first floor might be... models like Gundam toys, fair enough. Second floor might be anime, and the third floor will be the pornography floor. And okay, you've got your hentai, you've got...
And I spent all my time in the third floor.
Well, no, I mean, I think at that time, this was 1997, that the law had changed. I know there was no age of consent for quite a while, but... At the same time, it's illegal to show anything of... apparently supposed to be illegal to show anything titillating of minors. Now, all these junior idols, I suppose, they're wearing these thongs.
But in that store I saw, it must have been 10-year-olds in there, just pictures of them, selling them in, plastic bags, or I don't know what you'd call them. In comic bags?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Pictures of them. It's really... freaked me out. I ran out of there as fast as I could.
There was one that I remember, which had a naked 4-year-old on the cover. Now, this seemed to be of an older vintage, the 80s or something. Obviously, it was probably legal at that point in time to show pictures of children naked. Okay, they're not involved in any sexual acts that I could see. But obviously, it was illegal from some certain time. For them to do that, so this magazine was going for $200 because it was a vintage and it was when that was legal, so it really disturbed me.
Listen to this guy who's publishing this. He says, my personal stance on this is that it's good enough for the Japanese, it's good enough for us. I had the opportunity to live in Japan for 6 years, so while I understand and appreciate their cultural nuances and wacky and often bizarre sense of humor, based on the angry debates I have seen online, however, there are people who do not appreciate this sort of material. While it be appropriate for in Japan, they feel that it's inappropriate for our culture. He says that they do not believe in altering or censoring manga, artwork, or content, so that's out of the question. I've decided to delay the release to have an open dialogue with the large book chains and other vendors. So it looks like he's delaying the release because of this controversy.
Yeah.
There's a whole letter here. Talks about he's defending it and how it's just supposed to be for fun and whatnot.
I don't know. I mean,
if they're sexual, like they could, if they weren't sexualizing the 8-year-old, it would be all right.
Could you imagine Lisa Simpson saying to Ned Flanders, you know, I want you to ejaculate inside of me? I mean,
like an innocent kind of like I love you sensei kind of crush, that would be perfectly fine and funny and innocent, but turning her into like I don't know what I mean it, like a yeah. sex object is completely nymphet is a story about a mischievous nymphet is a story about a mischievous young girl who tries to sexually entrap her teacher. I mean, I don't know. Kelly, yeah. What do you think of that? Outrageous or not? She wasn't listening. Never mind.
So, you should have her on 24-hour standby.
She thinks it's not worth making comments about. It's so stupid.
Okay, well.
Disturbing, she says.
Yes, okay. So you have heard it live. Well, somewhat live. We have heard it live. From a real Japanese person.
Young perverts, she says. Beyond perverted. Okay.
Yes.
So Dan will be purchasing some copies. All right, good.
Bam,
now
bam,
next.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yes. Next item.
Okay. The next item is a little bit more on the lighter side. Is statistics that have come out now that 40% of Japanese people download manga on their cell phone. This is through legal means, by the way. This is through legal means. 43.6% of those were female. And 34.4% of them were male. And 22% were hermaphrodites.
Yeah.
I'm getting this from Anime Online, so I just stole that joke from them, by the way. So, but, I mean, it is interesting. Cell phones. I mean, how the hell can you read manga on a cell phone unless it's a...
Well, don't forget, like, Japan's cell phones are, like, 5 years ahead of the rubbish you got in North America. So, you know, they're watching TV. They were watching TV on their cell phones 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, but it's just... I just don't think it's a way to read manga on a little...
So. Yeah, obviously the screen will still be small, but I guess you could zoom in and whatnot. Or maybe they just do frame by frame, you know.
Could be frame by frame, and they have...
Custom made for the...
Yes.
Cost a fortune. You must have like a plan that has open... you can use as much... download as much as you want, because it would cost you a fortune to read one story. Can you imagine all the download that'll be? I mean, it's... I don't know. It seems a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yes, people use their cell phones for everything there. I mean, they're using it to buy stuff, but they'll have, like, IC chips built into the cell phone. Use it to, you know, you buy stuff from vending machines and whatnot, so...
Yeah. It's,
it's becoming the all-in-one gadget, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll be able to diagnose cancer next. It's certainly been said that they can cause cancer. And the final...
They might be killing the bees as well.
Yes.
You hear about... No, I'm serious. You hear about
that? Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, the bees are disappearing. It's the apocalypse.
And, yeah, that's...
If you haven't heard about that, it's a big problem. Like, the bees are, like, just disappearing, and if you don't know, bees are what, like, pollinate stuff. So, like, allow the plants to, like, reproduce. So if plants don't reproduce, you can say goodbye to your food, at least a large portion of it. So, you know, be worried.
There we
now,
go.
There's a good joke by Bill Maher. He said, like, first of all, his first joke was that if people could save the planet, like stop global warming, by just not using the remote control to their television, do you think they would do it?
No.
Probably not, you know.
Probably
people
not.
Are just so lazy and outrageous. Yep. Now, can you imagine if the solution would be, could you, like, save the planet if you decided, you know, by shutting down the cell phones or not using your cell phone, would people do it? If they found out that there was this cell phone tower, the waves that were killing the bees, would people do it if it meant saving the planet and, you know, not dying? Probably
I would,
not.
But probably, I mean, people
probably not.
People
are, yeah. You know, the blimps down south. I don't want to waddle to the corner to a, you know, payphone. I need the convenience, damn it. So,
it's damn disturbing if you ask me.
Yes.
And it's scaring me. Well, speaking of scary, there is going to be a second season of Tokyo Majin Gakuen Kenpucho. Hope I said that right. Which I saw the first episode of, and everyone was saying how awesome it was, but to me it seemed to be sort of kind of incoherent. We're just sort of... I mean, it could get better. It was basically the cliches that you don't like, Alex. You know, the school bully and then the class president and all of these people allying together.
I don't want to see any more shows set in a school. I'm tired of them.
To fight...
You know, moratorium for a while.
Fight zombies and whatnot. It looks really... the action scenes seem to be well made, but I only saw the first episode, and it seemed like we were thrown in the middle of a book, and I didn't know what was going on. So I can't comment, but a lot of people seem to like it, and a second season is on the way. So
okay. For
those of you that do like it, well, good for you. And that's really it for the news this week.
So yeah, good for you, IGN guy.
Yeah.
Blathers Blather, promo number 1, take 23.
Do you like movies and television? Do you like science fiction and anime? If you said yes, then why not try Lathers Blather? It's the podcast by fans for fans. So head on over to... jeez.
Cut, what's wrong this time?
This is garbage. It has no flow, no grace.
Oh, you think you can do better, Mr. 23 Takes and Counting?
I was thinking more urban, to bring in the kids, you know? Here, let's try this. You had best be stepping off my grill, home slice, or else I'll call in all my homos from the south side, boy!
Sweet zombie criminy, I've seen polar bears that are less white than you.
Oh, you wanna fight me? I'll come right out of the booth! I'll put my foot so far up you'll taste shoe leather!
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Oh, yeah, well, come and try it.
Oh,
come on.
Lathers Blather Podcast. Check out lathersblather.blogspot.com.
Everything you always wanted in a podcast, and less.
Ooh, I like that.
All right, first off, I have a very brief review of Tokyo Godfathers, which is by the director Satoshi Kon, who is the director behind Perfect Blue, which we talked about earlier, and the new release, Paprika. So after hearing about, you know, Paprika and remembering how awesome Perfect Blue is, I wanted to see what else he made. So I checked this out, Tokyo Godfathers. Now, this is a fantastic movie. Highly recommend it. It's about three homeless people. They're the protagonists. We have sort of one's have a middle-aged, grumpy, sort of Oyaji type, who's been sort of a seasoned veteran of the streets, who got sort of left his family after piling up gambling debts. And we've got a transvestite, sort of flamboyant, dresses as a woman, obviously, transvestite. Did they make a transvestite or just a cross-dresser? I don't know. Dresses up as a woman, thinks he's a she, and
finally a
desperately...
character you can associate
quiet and desperately wants to have children, and definitely an old old hag, fag hag, is that a word? But anyways, I meant that in a nice sense. And then there's a sort of a teenage runaway, a girl who is running away because she did something bad in her home, and she's scared to go back and face her father. And so it's Christmas Day, and these guys just get out of a sort of a soup kitchen at a church. And by the way, the homo there is definitely the religious one of the group, and it's going on about morals and whatnot. And they come across, it's kind of funny, actually. And they come across an abandoned baby just in a pile of garbage, which they were sifting through looking for, you know, thrown out food.
Which
or
is scarily enough, just not to throw your review away, but in the news, there was an abandoned baby found, and there's even one hospital in Japan experimenting with a baby deposit bin, so people don't abandon the babies.
Yeah, they've got that in Germany. Actually, it's again, we're going, I guess we're off topic, but
yeah.
I mean, I discussed that with my students, the baby box or baby mailbox or baby
post,
something like
that. They got them
in Japan
now.
Well, yeah, they just got in the one hospital. It's kind of an experiment.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I guess the theory is, you know, better to put it in there than to throw it on the, you know, toilet in a restroom at a Walmart like the chick did here.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, which is in Saskatchewan. I think it was Saskatchewan. You know, some woman had a baby in the restroom of a Walmart, left it in the toilet, and just walked out of the Walmart.
Kent from Upper Paddle lives in Saskatchewan, so he's probably related to her. So what's the story, Kent?
Maybe he knocked her up.
No, Kent, I'm sorry. Okay, continue.
So, I think it was Saskatchewan. Don't send me hate mail. It was Saskatchewan. But anyway, so they find an abandoned baby, and the transvestite sort of thinks is like, this is a gift from God, and like something that, you know, she was dying for a baby, and now she can finally have one. And obviously the other two are skeptical at first, and you know, want to bring the baby to the, you know, police box, you know, return it responsibly, but they sort of cave into the transvestite and let her have it for a day. And eventually, so the transvestite sort of talks them into going on this grand adventure to sort of find the mother who abandoned this baby, find her themselves, so that they can sort of talk some sense into her. It sounds a bit stupid, but it plays out very well. So the rest of the movie is sort of their adventures along the way as they cross Tokyo.
I love
cross Tokyo as they cross Tokyo to find this mother, and it's fantastic. You'll laugh, you'll maybe cry. It's moving and funny, so funny, especially like the interaction between the three characters. They get along just like a bunch of old chums, you know, and it's so funny in places, and some action. It's kind of funny.
I saw that in the trailer. I saw like a kung fu scene, which got
It's kind of funny because the whole movie, like the gruffy old guy's like, you know, you think I'm a super action hero? I can't do this. You know, I don't want to run after that guy. I'm not an action hero. Let's go to the police officer. Let them, you know, the professionals do it. Going on. At the end, he ends up as kind of like the action hero. There's a car chase, and it turns out that he is the action hero. It's so good. It's so funny. I really enjoyed it, and I think Calvary really enjoyed it as well. She was watching along with me and laughing at all the right places, and you know, it was spectacular with great animation. I mean, I know I see this a lot recently, but even for like an animated picture, if you compare it to other ones, obviously you can't expect, you know, like a TV show to have the same quality as an animated picture. But if you compare this to other stuff, like earlier stuff, like Perfect Blue, I think it's better than Perfect Blue animation.
Like I said, it was an OVA before, so.
Better than, you go back, I guess, it'd be more than 5 years before this came out, I suppose, Ghost in the Shell. So that's the famous scene where the market scene in Ghost in the Shell, all the chaos. It's like that scene, but like through the whole movie, or at least a lot of it anyway. It's spectacular animation, great characters, what a group, so much fun. You'll have a lot of fun watching this movie as you're following these characters along, laughing with them. Eventually, the transvestite, so funny. And the girl is... There's no sort of cutesy, sort of ridiculous, sort of... You know what I mean? Cutesy sort of overacting character. I guess you could call it transvestite that, because it is a transvestite. But it doesn't, like, super
But it's almost, to spite the cliched real female stereotypical character, you know, by transvestite.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah. I mean, she doesn't turn, like, super deformed and start bouncing around or anything like that. It's all played in just right. Everything hits the exact right notes. Really liked it. Everybody should check it out. Tokyo Godfathers.
Well, I certainly will. I'm looking forward to it. And I think one thing about Satoshi Kon's films is the character designs and the way it's animated is the facial expressions are so real in a way, and they're more real than real. So don't you feel that the expressions of the characters are so...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are some scenes. It's hard because the animation on the face is just so right. Like, they're not really doing... They could just be standing there not doing anything, just kind of making a sort of a... Not like a super deformed face, but like the face is just so spot on. Like, the reaction to something where it's like dead serious.
Yeah.
And just sort of like eyes are open and sort of staring, and it's like this hits the exact note. You're sort of laughing at this, like the stupefied look they've got. But it's not like... Like in another anime, they might like go super deformed and have the jaw like fall, you know, 1 meter down to his waist, and you know what I mean, something like that, to sort of overact it. But they don't do that. They just stick it pure realism.
Yeah, most they of do the time. It so real that it becomes sort of more real than real, which makes it even funnier. You know, I know that sounds strange, but you know, the characters, the facial expressions, is just the same as real ones, but because it's animated and it's done so well, it seems even more real, which sort of, you know, magnifies the effect, I think, which is certainly a good thing. Okay, well,
yeah, I gotta check out more of his work too. So you mentioned Paranoid Agent before.
Paranoia Agent, yep.
Paranoia Agent. I'll have to check that out. Although just looking at the main page here, they got a cutesy character which does not inspire confidence.
Well, I've never read a bad review for Paranoia Agent. Well, for right. You know,
that's
because that
MacDougal
prick
brilliant.
Hasn't seen it. He is brilliant. He is.
So yep. So everybody, if you're in Los Angeles or New York, for God's sakes, go see. What is it called? Help me out here. Paprika.
Paprika.
Go see Paprika in the cinema. Don't like pirate it off the net like Skazbrook. Okay.
I got a fan sub of it. I had no choice.
Exactly. So like, if you're like living in the like bumfuck Arkansas, you've got no choice. Okay.
Well said.
But you know, if you're living in New York or LA, you have the opportunity to support it and see it in the cinema.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And maybe
it'll
roll out the rest of the country.
If this was showing at the cinemas here, I'd be the first one there. And you know, Tekonkin Crete actually showed in Hong Kong with English subtitles at the cinemas. It was only at a few. It was like a festival, and I missed out on it. Dagnabbit.
Oh.
Yeah. It was booked out. Basically, it was booked out, and I have yet to see Tekonkin Crete, which I'm also looking forward to. So, that was a good mini review, Alex. And now to my review for the epic 80s anime, Wannabes.
Ow! My Buccaneers! Please join me, Cancer, on the Upper Paddle Podcast. This weekly podcast features geek news, reviews, and rants in the subjects of anime, video games, and movies. I share conspiracy theories. The Smurfs are communists. Random facts. There are more bald eagles in the province of British Columbia, Canada, than there are in the entire United States of America. And Podcast Pete gives us the pirate perspective.
Arr, this steering wheel be driving me nuts.
So go to uppapaddle.com or search for Up a Paddle in the iTunes directory. Tens of listeners can't be wrong. Pick up a paddle. It will be glorious.
Okay, well, finally a review. And I can promise you, I will wager my, my genitals.
That's not much of a wager.
I will wager my genitals, okay, so, that no other podcast has or probably will ever review this anime. But At the same time, it is a very relevant anime, and I will tell you why. The title is Wannabes, as in wannabe. You're a wannabe. I wanna be king.
Wanna be a superhero.
Yeah, that's it. And it, why is it relevant, first and foremost? It was made in 1986. Or 1985, I can't quite get its vintage. Some people say it was made in Christmas, it was released in Christmas of 86, some say Christmas of 85.
However, how do you spell it?
It's wanna-be, apostrophe S, wannabes. Now, why is this so relevant? Why? Because it's almost a precursor to what would come later in the 80s from, most notably, Kenichi Sonada, who was very much involved with Galforce. He did the character design for Galforce, and also the character design for Bubblegum Crisis, Gunsmith Cats, etc., etc., etc. He actually made the story for Gunsmith Cats, but for Bubblegum Crash and Bubblegum Crisis, he just did the hard suit designs for the TV series and the character designs for the show. He was a big name in the 80s. When I look at his character designs, I really think 80s, you know, Riding Bean, Gunsmith Cats, etc., etc. And it was based on a manga by Toshimichi Suzuki. This is also relevant because he did the original manga and the planning for everything, or most things that Kenichi Sonada has been involved in. He did the original story for Bubblegum Crisis, the original manga, and Bubblegum Crash. He did the story and the planning for pretty much a lot of these things. Riding Bean, he did the planning. So this is sort of the beginning of the Dream Team for people who like those shows in particular.
Okay.
So that's why it's relevant. Production-wise, if you see this show, it is very much similar to Bubblegum Crisis. This sort of the animation style, even the quality of the animation, is very similar. It is a one-off 45-minute OVA series.
Oh, is that it, really?
Yeah,
it's not a series, is it?
No. And this sort of, I enjoyed watching this. One reason was because
just look at the picture. Look at the 80s hair.
Yeah, oh, it's as 80s as 80s can be. I enjoyed this because I remember my early days of anime, you know, when no TV series were licensed, and everything that was licensed were usually OVAs and the occasional film. OVAs were good because, you know, you could get the audience in, and the story would not go on forever and ever and ever, so it was easy to license. So it made me remember my old good old days of viewing anime. Now, what's it about? Okay, by now, hopefully you would have seen the picture on the show notes and would have a good idea. It is about female tag team wrestling in Japan. Now, this actually got commercially released in America early on. It was never made its way to DVD. It was only came out on VHS, and then it was pretty much forgotten. I remember the original cover for it was not even, it was one of those crappy covers where they show a clip from the cartoon, which might look good, you know, on TV, but when you sort of put it on the video cover, it looks sort of
like a still,
slapped on. Yeah,
no,
a still.
Good.
That's right, and this corny wannabes text. So it's about female tag team wrestling. But by the time the show ends, it turns into the Gyver or slash Power Rangers. It is just insane. The two main characters of the story, and you can see them on the picture which I have attached in the show notes. One is called Eri. She's the pretty one with the long hair. And the other one is Mickey, who is the sexy tomboy of the group. They are female tag team wrestlers. As the show opens, their friends are fighting, I think they're called the Star Angels, I can't remember now, Japan's most infamous or famous female wrestling team, the Foxy Ladies. The
Foxy Ladies, yes.
The Foxy Ladies are these huge brutes, and they are
bunch of Charlenes.
Maybe one ass cheek of Charlene. We'll explain Charlene in the future.
Yeah, that's another tale from the Hong Kong English Center.
Don't make me think of a tale, please. the Foxy Ladies are so, and I'm not being prejudiced here, ladies, but I'm saying they're so dykish that it makes Rosie
Ellen
O'Donnell
look,
and KD Lang look like Powerpuff Girls.
Right.
So their friends are getting the crap beaten out of them by the Foxy Ladies, and then suddenly, almost as if in a trance, one of the girls' muscles flex so big that, oops, her shirt kind of gets ripped off in the process. And
I was just going to ask, at what point do their, you know, swimsuits get torn off? Yeah.
And she starts throwing one of the Foxy Ladies around and then collapses. Ooh, that's strange. And those two girls promptly vanish where they're supposedly getting medical treatment. Their true fates are revealed later on. Now, the Foxy Ladies, the first two-thirds of it are really good in their own right, or very interesting. I mean, it's still B-grade no matter how you look at it, but it's basically them wanting to confront the Foxy Ladies, and they're training. They're called the Wannabes, these two girls. That's the name of their wrestling team. They're training to be, the whole Rocky-esque training montage. At the same time, their manager, who is in debt, really in debt, suddenly makes an agreement with this mysterious man. Okay, every kind of fighting show has the mysterious man with a tie who sits in the booth, you know? All the rabble are sort of in the audience, but, you know, there's always a booth with a desk and champagne and men with ties. The manager makes an agreement with this guy to give them a new training routine. Now, exactly what is this training routine? This sort of drug routine? Is it steroids? No, nothing so simple. It's actually some sort of alien DNA, which makes the ladies extremely strong. So there is this really cool, relatively well animated wrestling part, which goes, you know, for about 8 minutes, where they fight the Foxy Ladies, the Wannabes versus the Foxy Ladies, and it's really quite entertaining. It's also rather brutal at the same time, but we don't really get many female tag team wrestling anime, so the sort of action is not what you have usually seen before. You know, it's not fireballs and whatnot, or kung fu, or karate, or kenpo. This is, wrestling. So eventually the girls realize that they've been drugged. You know, there's no way that they should have been this powerful. So then there is a Kill Bill-esque showdown in the company that was designing the drugs. The girls still have the drug in them, so they got these superpowers, and, you know, they can punch holes in walls.
I suppose their clothes get torn off as they're fighting in the last round as well.
Funnily enough, yes. and eventually, it results in a showdown, an epic showdown between this giant, Zoonoid, if you've seen the Gyver, this giant alien beast, and they use their tag team skills to fight it out with this beast. Now, I've pretty much revealed the whole story, but that's irrelevant. It's not what is done, but it is how it is done, and it's done in a very fun 80s fashion. It runs for 45 minutes, and, you know, you're not going to wish for those minutes of your life back. You're going to enjoy it, I think, anyway, especially if you were an early anime fan, or you just want to have a look at an early anime of the 80s. A lot of people say that the golden age of anime was the 80s, and I agree, but more specifically, I think it was the mid-80s to the mid-90s. I especially like the mid-80s part. You know, I love the 80s, what can I say? So, if you're interested in some B-grade corny female tag team wrestling with an alien thrown in and a rather bloody ending, this could be enjoyable. If you're a fan of Kenichi Sonada, or you're a fan of anything that he's been involved in, Bubblegum Crisis, Riding Bean, etc., etc., then a lot of the time he collaborated with Toshimichi Suzuki, who did the original manga and planning of Wannabes. So it's kind of the start of a classic partnership, so to speak, and not many people know about it. Now, because I'm a kind fellow, I've decided that I am going to host this. I will either try and put it on something like...
this is very dangerous.
Dangerous, that's right.
Dangerous, Dean.
There's two ways I'm going to do this. I'm going to try and put it on DivX Stage 6. What DivX Stage 6 is it's like YouTube, but better. I mean, you can have high-quality DVD-quality videos hosted there, and it's pretty fast, and you can download them from there. If that doesn't work, then I will probably host it on the FTP for a few days. The reason I'm being so kind is because this is virtually... two reasons. This is virtually unobtainable on the internet. The version I have is a VHS rip. The subtitles...
Where'd you get it?
I got it off Emule, although there was only like about four or five people sharing it. And my thanks to those people.
Months to get it.
Didn't take that long. Obviously, the people are dedicated to sharing this particular show. So what I have done is I have re-encoded it to DVD resolution, used some sharpening, anti-aliasing, and I have done a pretty damn good job for something that was a VHS rip. You know, getting it from 320 to 240 to, 720 by 480 or whatever I got it to. So this is probably the best quality version of this out there. Perhaps in the world, I don't know.
As Dan gets puffed up minute by minute.
Yes. But and the subtitles are a little
bit... Feel free to send your sycophant emails to animepacific@danerocks.com.
At yahoo.com. Don't confuse our audience. the subtitles are a little bit too high. You know, they're like, you know, a third of the way up the screen. But this is just how VHS subtitled tapes used to be. I think because on the TV screen, some of the edges would be cut away on the TV or something like that. But that's not my fault. This is out of print. Okay, it is not a fan sub, it is out of print. However, I will apply the unofficial fan sub law to this. If it gets released, then, or of course, the distributor.
Or if you want to arrest Dane, feel free to go to Shatin, New Territories,
yeah,
Hong Kong, and arrest the balding blimp-like creature you'll see somewhere near the Folktime Pizza Hut.
Alex really respects me, you can see. The license is expired for the US label. This is essentially, so that's it. Check it out. It's a good show. I'm not going to give it any star rating because we discussed this earlier. I will just say it's good if you accept it for what it is. It's not Paprika by any means, but it is good throwaway 80s stuff. Okay?
Right on.
Right on, brother. Alex is on the sleepy train. Da, 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 da. Okay, well, it's past 7:30 p.m. and Alex's mother is poking him with the broom.
Quiet.
Which means, it is time to go to bed, mon ami! I shall not cook you frog's legs for breakfast!
Frog's legs for breakfast. What a racist stereotype.
Yeah, I know, I was rather terrible. Well, I'm partially of French heritage as well, so... Alex's mother is French-Canadian. And she always wears a beret.
Alex doesn't know, actually. She does a beret.
Oh, does she? Okay. Well, they always say that French-Canadians are hardcore... We might be Canadian, but we are still French, no? Liberate Quebec, Alex!
That's a bang-on impression of my mother.
That's right.
It's not, actually. But anyways, that wraps up another episode of Anime Pacific.
Yes, excellent. Join us. I guess, note with the knowledge that next week is our 6-month anniversary, or, well, you know, half year, as in 26.
I'm sure we'll be flooded with congratulatory emails.
That's right. I expect Vladimir Putin, perhaps Donald Zhang, chief executive of Hong Kong, pretty much anyone who's anyone to be emailing us. Because Vladimir Putin, of course, does listen to our show every week.
But we'd be happy to hear from you average blokes as well, so please.
Speaking about our genesis, whatever happened to Jake the Root Beer King? He kind of disappeared there for a while.
He's in the forums, I think.
Well, if you're still alive, Jake, let us know. Just post in our comment section, because our comment section is a rockin' tootin' place.
Yeah, and actually, you know what? We forgot to bring up that email we received. We only received one email to our email inbox.
Yes, that's right. We got an email from Paul Acuna. It was a slow week for emails, pretty much. I suppose there hasn't been much that we have talked about that has warranted much talk back. But he
just wanted to bring up the movies that we talked about last week.
Yes,
and the movies that I talked about. And he basically wanted to bring up a Robin Williams movie called 1 Hour Photo, and how it had a sort of a similar kind of slow pace and sort of moody atmosphere as the one I was talking about. And I have indeed seen that 1 Hour Photo, and it's not bad. I wouldn't say it's up there with, let's say, All the President's Men or something, it's pretty good.
It's a worthy modern thriller, as opposed to a classic, but it's definitely a worthy modern.
Well, it's all right. I wouldn't say it's not Zodiac or anything, but it was all right. It was done pretty well.
And he thinks that the main actor from 1 Hour Photo looks like Steve Nash, who I don't know who it is. However, he sent some pictures, and it does look like Steve Nash, whoever he is. Some basketballer, but I don't. My hood credibility is pretty crap at the moment. I don't know anything about basketball.
Basketballer.
And I know just as much about basketball as I do about Australian rugby or
I like how you say, because like in Dane's world it would be like footballer, so he says basketballer. Very funny. Well, here we'd say basketball player, I suppose. But anyways,
I don't know much about sport, so I can't be.
And note the uncountable sport, not sports.
Well, there we go. Yes. So.
All right.
I'm less and less cooler with each passing sentence.
Yes. So, I guess that wraps it up. Send us some emails. We'll have more to talk about next week.
Yeah, it's going to be the 6-month anniversary kind of special, and we just kind of realized this while we're recording. Well, it can be special, but we need your help. Send us something special.
Yes.
Talk about something special. Give us something.
If you're 12 years old and you're female and you want to send naked pictures to Dane, go ahead. It will be Dane's request.
It'll be in complete confidentiality, I assure you.
Research, I'm sure.
Yes.
No, but seriously. Anything to say, Skazbrook? No?
You're really digging deep into your heart, aren't you?
All right.
I've said what I need to say. Actually, seeing I am going to be like hosting this Wannabes, even if you think it's crap, just tell me what you think of it. And tell me your anime background. Are you an old school fan? Are you a newer fan? I would really like to know how this goes down with the general population at large. So just let us know in the comment section.
Yeah, and if you see Paprika or Tokyo Godfathers, tell us. Especially if you see Paprika in the cinema in New York or L.A.,
I saw it on my projector, so.
You pirate dog, you.
Fan subber.
Yes.
Support this release, seriously. It deserves to be seen at the cinema, and it really deserves to get a DVD. I'm sure the DVD will be excellent.
Right. Anyways, we're rambling. So
we're rambling. So until next week. Cut.
The balcony's closed.
Okay, that's our new closer. The balcony's closed.
Trouble! Trouble! Getting about. Buster Bear's pursuing drought. Reddy Fox's radar snout has sniffed out his prey. In the green forest, the green forest, the laughing brook chuckles all day. Paddy Beaver's building a dam. Joe the Otter tells him scram. Chatterers upon the lam. Oh, what a sight! In the green forest, you may see an occasional fight. Peter Rabbit hippity hops, the mean old weasel growls. Grandpa Froggy flippity flops, and Sammy Blue Jay scowls. There are marchands, mink and sables there, toads on lunchroom tables there. 4 in 50 fables there of friendship and strife. In the green forest, the stories you've read about all come to life. Yes, the